Welcome to the Playing Injured podcast, where we have conversations that help people turn their adversity into their advantage. Welcome to episode 86, where we sit down with Jeff Later, the co-founder and CEO of Later Lifestyle. Jeff is also a nutrition and fitness coach and a professional bodybuilder. In this episode, we talk about the mental side of personal development and how building yourself inward actually helps create the external results. We talk about going against the norm and actually focusing on your vision and goals and what it takes to get there, and a little bit of Jeff's journey along the way. Let us know what your favorite part of this episode was and what you took from it. And I hope you enjoy the show. Jeff, I always love starting a podcast with kind of giving people an opportunity to share who they are and how they spend their time. So who is Jeff and how does he spend his time today?
Well, do you want the full story or do you just want like who I am today?
I want you to just get in the flow and we can take it wherever you want to take it.
But All right. Well, as you introduced me, I am an IFBB pro bodybuilder. I earned my pro card back in 2018 and it was my 40th competition, which means I did 39, well, technically all 40 as an amateur. I retired at that point. It was a lifelong ambition that I never looked past. It was kind of my finish line, and it dominated my life for most of my adult life. It was something that I pursued. I don't like to say that defines me because it is just one aspect of my life, even though it was a huge, huge aspect. And obviously my life now as a professional, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, I run a coaching company. Yeah. And, I started this alongside my wife it's been an amazing blessing. We've had our share of, working with your spouse or working with family in general. Yeah. Can come with its share of complications, but we've been able to make it work and grow. And, we've officially founded our company 10 years ago. So we're actually celebrating 10 years this year. And, we've had thousands of people come through our world, but our mission, even though I am a bodybuilder, we have worked with a number of bodybuilders, but our mission really is to help people find a sustainably fit lifestyle. To avoid the extremes, to get off the dieting, yo-yo up and downs and find something that's sustainable and is going to work for them forever. We do a lot of work with mindset and stuff like that. And I'd say like that really has been my focus on personal development. Yeah. And it's something that I've pursued just for myself. And then I've been able to pass that on to others. I've always viewed that, if I can't help myself, then I can't help others. And so I've always tried to constantly work on my own development and trying to become better, which is something I drew from my experience as a bodybuilder, just constantly pursuing improvement. And that's, in a physical aspect, but I've been able to adopt that into other areas of my life as well. So that's, that's a little bit about me. I have a family of five. I have three girls that are all...
girl dad. I love it.
Yeah, a lot of estrogen in this house. So that's why I'm a bodybuilder, so I can scare off the dudes, life is good.
And, I love it. I love it. You talk about the mental side, right? And I think a lot of people, most people, they talk about that outer shell, right? What the body looks like. But what I've learned is that the mental side actually is before the physical side. So if you want to look a certain way or you want to have a certain amount of results in whatever it is, the mental side has to get taken care of first. Have you seen that kind of in your experience, like through bodybuilding, through coaching, right? That mental side being taken care of before the results actually follow that.
Absolutely. When you look at the landscape in the fitness community, even just the sports community too, we focus on the tactics on, this type of diet and we're going to restrict this. We're going to remove that. We're just the surface level things, right? But most people can't stick to it. And there's a lot of reasons as to why maybe the tactic itself may not be sustainable, but they're focusing on that external, all those external influences rather than what's happening inside and in the perception, the habits, the mindset that we have. I think, you know, automatically, and maybe this is just human nature, but when we go into a diet and we start to restrict, you know, like, I'm going to tell you, hey, Josh, you can't have any carbs.
Right.
So automatically, what are you going to want?
Carbs.
All the carbs in the world, even though you maybe not even had a craving before that. And if it doesn't crop up today, it'll crop up sometime this week, you know?
Right.
So that act of restriction, can mess some of the external tactics that we use, mess with the internal mindset that we have sometimes. So I think they need to be congruent. And I think they need to be aligned. And that's what's missing most of the time when it comes to our fitness, when it comes to our performance. And when you get those aligned, magic happens.
Yeah, 100%. And what's crazy about these tactics, right? It's almost like, you know, we live in a world, and I guess I don't know if it's always been like this for humans, right? It's kind of like that get fit quick or that get rich quick.
Oh, yeah.
Or trying to find the shortcut, right? That instant gratification. Yeah, a hack, right? Life hack. Instead of having like this real experience to really build something that you said before is sustainable and last for a lifetime, right? Usually you get something that comes quick. It actually leaves quick because you didn't build the actual habits or build the identity, right? To actually sustain the results that you want. So why do you think people kind of chase that hack?
Well, I think it's just the world that we live in today. I mean, even if you roll back the clock 30 years, there was less of a demand for that. If there was the option of like, well, do you want it today or do you want it 10 years from now? Obviously, we're going to choose today.
Right.
But especially when it comes to improving our health, losing fat, building muscle, whatever it is, developing a skill, it takes time. It just does. But when it comes to what you see every single day, I mean, we've kind of been trained and we've been groomed to expect quick results. We want instant gratification.
Yeah.
You know, even as simple as social media, we're getting those dopamine hits every time we post, we make a post and we're looking for those likes, right? And we're like, oh man, that one got a bunch of likes or that one didn't. Then we feel bad. So we're constantly going up and down with emotions just based on our social media experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, microwaves, DoorDash, remote controls. I mean, all that stuff wasn't around, decades ago. And so it's just kind of what we've come to expect. We expect convenience. We expect immediate gratification. That's just the world that we live in. And so we kind of expect that across all things.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So was going through your Instagram, right? And then, you know, I like to stalk my guests a little bit before I go. Right. And so this got me thinking about immediate gratification. Right. And I'm going to read this because I want people to hear this. And you can follow Jeff at Jeff Later on Instagram. So give him a follow. But says person A brings his lunch. Person B goes out with coworkers for lunch. Person A exercises before work. Person B hits snooze. Person A limits alcohol. Person B drunk every weekend. B is common and expected as normal and accepted as normal. A is uncommon and weird. Don't be common. Go against the norm, right? And so reason why I wanted to read that is because we talk about instant gratification and that's what is accepted. And that's what you see kind of the masses do is that immediate gratification. And they don't really think about kind of the vision the long term, right?
Absolutely.
And so the crazy ones, right, or the weirdos, they have that vision, but they do things that are against the grain, right? And so your journey, being a bodybuilder, doing 40 different competitions, right, in the fitness space, being a big guy now, right, how often do you get you're crazy, you're weird, and how do you handle that?
Oh, wow. Well, no one's actually ever asked me that specific question. But quite a bit, you know, and I actually, maybe this is just due to the pandemic, but I don't think it is. I've worked from home for almost 10 years now. And so I actually don't get out that much. And when I do get out, I go to the gym. That's my one place that I leave for the day. But when I travel a lot, every single time I'm in the airport and then anywhere I go. It's like my wife just kind of comes to expect it. I've come to expect it now too. My kids, you know, if we ever go to Vegas, which is just a 5-hour drive for us, yeah, we're walking down the strip, they'll hang back a few steps and watch for the nudges people are making to their friends. Like, I'm like, check this guy out, you know, or the comments, those count the comments that we get. And you know, when people are drinking, they're more apt to make more comments too, but it happens a lot. But you know, there was a movie that came out. It was a kind of a sequel to Pumping Iron years ago. It's called Generation Iron. And they talk about how you're a freak. Mm-hmm. You're not always looked at as like a normal person. And it's sometimes it's respected. Other times it's like, oh, that's gross. You know, there's differences of opinions out there. But it's something that, you know, used to bug me at first. I think at first I didn't even identify with it. If somebody called me big, I'm like, who are you talking to? Cause that's not me. Like, I know that now that I'm bigger than the average person, right, obviously, but, it took me a long time to accept that, but, certainly not the norm. So yeah, you're going to attract some attention.
Yeah. 100%. And I think everybody that is kind of going for excellence in a way in whatever arena that they're in, they get called crazy or obsessive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, like you said, it can bug you at first. Right. And it is a step that you need to take when your friends look at you weird and it's like, hey, no, I can't go out this weekend. I need to focus on this. Or, you know, hey, I can't go to that dinner. I need to focus on whatever the case may be. Right. And so they can look at you weird. So I know you I like dieting and different things like that, being able to say no to people. Right. Is that a struggle for you? And it probably was at some point, but how do you handle kind of telling people no, to certain things?
You know, I would go back to when I worked in the corporate world, cause I did for, you know, a good 10, 12 years. I actually never considered fitness to be a real career.
Right.
I wasn't, you know, I just, that's not how I was raised. You know, you get a job and you climb the corporate ladder type of thing. Well, when I began my bodybuilding career, training as a teenager, never did anything until I didn't get on stage until I was 30, but I was well into my corporate career at that point. When I started, I was 175 pounds, over a period of about maybe 3 or 4 years, I got up to around 220 or so and people noticed. And I ended up getting like maybe a little bit more emboldened with my eating habits. And so I'd be in like these big meetings. And there I was with my Tupperware, eating my food, eating my chicken and rice, you know, whereas other people, and I hear this from clients, I like, oh, I can't bring my food to these meetings. I'm like, well, I did.
Right.
And I got some looks at first, you know, some comments every once in a while. And then it just became normal. Everyone just accepted it. And the crazy thing was, is that after a while, I was a mid-level guy. I wasn't, you know, high up. I wasn't a VP or anything like that, but it's a big company, about 500 employees in this.
Right.
Before long, every single member of the C-level staff knew who I was.
Wow.
And they would come to me for advice. And actually, since I've left that company, I've been presented with business opportunities from every single one of them because they grew to respect it. And they acknowledged the hard work that I put in and then the outcomes that I was able to get through that hard work. So was it hard to resist temptation at first? Yes. Yeah, for sure. Because it's like, well, you're the only one not eating with everybody else and it's Donut Friday and they're right by your desk. How come you're not eating them with everybody else? It's because it doesn't align with my goals. It doesn't serve me. And I'm not easily swayed or tempted by donuts, even though I love donuts. I have goals that I'm pursuing. So why would I do something that's going to detract from my goals? And I'm putting in all this work in the gym. Why am I going to go and do that? Because everyone's having a slice of pie for lunch.
Wow.
I'm not. So, goal driven, I guess. And, you know, you stick to it. People will start to respect it. They won't at first though.
Yeah. That is crazy. So it's a cycle really, right? At first people that they'll start to kind of put their reflections on you. I should be eating too. I shouldn't be eating this slice of pizza during lunch. I know I have goals myself. Here, Jeff is chicken and rice. And in a way I kind of envy that discipline that he has. And so to make me feel better, I got to give him a look.
Him.
Right. I got to make him, I got to give him a comment. Jeff, you sure you don't want a slice? Come on, Jeff. You got all these slices of pizza. Jeff, it's free. Come on, Jeff. This is the best pizza in the city.
One slice won't hurt you.
One slice won't hurt you. And then over time, they start to respect you. They know who you are. And they ask you for advice. They kind of cave in, right? Wow. Yeah. So it's just.
I was going to say, I remember one particular situation where, you know, it was after a competition. And again, they literally used to get huge orders of donuts on Fridays. And where they would bring them and put them in was next to my office. And yeah, everyone would walk by like, I'll eat yours for you. But there was one Friday where I'm like, I'm going to have one. Because I could, you know? Right. And everyone freaked out. They just lost their minds. Like, whoa, Jeff, what are you doing? You can't eat that. What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that. They're like helping you out. Like, Jeff, you're stronger than this. You don't have to do this. I'm like, no, guys, it's okay. I swear I can do this. I know how to make this work. And you don't have to worry about me, but I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. So there's like a huge shift in, like, not only they were against me at first and for different motivations, and we could get into a whole different side topic as to why people do that. But then they started to respect it. And then they wanted to almost like actively help me. Wow. Because they knew that I'd been so disciplined for so long. And oh my gosh, Jeff, I respected you so much. Why are you doing this now? Like, no, you can still respect me. This is part of the plan. Okay. This is okay. You know, anyway, it's interesting. The psychology, the support and the lack of support and the reasons behind it. It's interesting.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? I would love to go deeper into that.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, I think that you making good decisions that are serving towards your goals that are probably not too far away from what they would optimally want.
Right.
And then with you doing it and them not doing it, it makes them feel guilty. It's almost like you're holding a mirror in front of them saying like, I'm doing it the right way. You're doing it the wrong way. And it just makes them feel guilty. Right. So if they can tempt you and you fall to that temptation, it makes them feel better and almost justified. And they can say like, well, see, you're just going to fail anyway. This is why I never even started, because I knew that I wouldn't be able to maintain it, and you can't maintain it either. So why did you even start? You know, and that's one theory. I think there's a lot of things that motivate people differently, but you know, guilt likes company. And I think that people feel guilty when they're doing that, but with everyone's participating, then everyone feels fine.
100%. And so that's why we go back to going against the norm. You end up being more respected, right? You go against the norm.
Yeah. Not at first.
Yeah. Not at first. And me and you talked a little bit off air. You talked about not giving up. You just never gave up. Like, you had 40 different competitions. Most people only do a few. You weren't nothing. You weren't anything special. You just didn't give up. And so I don't think people get a chance to see the cycle of people going from kind of, you know, bugging you or kind of hating on you for a little bit, and then eventually respecting you. I don't think people get to that point to be able to see that. And just learning from your example, I hope people can see, hey, if you don't give up, if you continue to go on your own goals, you get a chance to see people start to respect you in a way over time.
Yeah, they have that shift.
Yeah.
You know, I talk with clients all the time, because they, especially, it's always a work situation, but you can get it from family too.
Yeah.
You know, where they're trying to tempt you. And, you know, I remember one particular situation where a girl, you know, it was somebody's birthday and everyone was eating birthday cake. And this girl's like, no, thanks guys. Happy birthday. But you know, I'm trying to, you know, watch what I'm eating. And they, you know, I don't know how much resistance she got with the group, but when she went back to her desk, there was a cupcake sitting on her keyboard. And, you know, just putting it there, like, I don't know what their motivation was, but she didn't eat it, but it actually really irritated her that they were doing that. Like, come on, guys, if you really are friends and you really do want to support me, then you wouldn't try to tempt me and make me, you know, deviate from what my goals are. But what ended up happening is, it wasn't immediate, but you know, it might've been a few weeks later, might've been a few months later. People started, those same people that were trying to tempt her were coming to her and saying, hey, so what are you doing exactly? Like, how have you been able to experience so much change? This is incredible. Like, I want that. So they did, that shift happened, right? Where they, all of a sudden that respect was generated, because holy crap, this girl is really driven, and look at the outcomes that she's getting. Look at the results that she's getting. They don't know everything beyond you know, that's not on surface level that they can't see, but they're interested now because they want those outcomes too.
Yeah.
So you never know who you're going to inspire, but you really need to stick to your guns. And there's so much social pressure for a variety of things.
Yeah.
But if you know your why, and if you're driven, if you have that mindset, and you're not, you don't have this mentality that you're missing out on everything, but you're actually enhancing your life, then everything changes.
Yeah.
And people around you will change too.
Yeah. I think it's tough, especially with social media, because you're constantly looking at other people, right? And you feel like you're missing out on something. But like you said before, if it doesn't really align with your vision or your goals, are you really missing out? You know?
No. I mean, you know, you're missing out on some things, but maybe those are things that you need to be missing out on.
Right. Right. 100%. So, I've also seen this, right. That most people on their journey, it, like you said, it can take a while. And it's not that instant gratification. It's not going to happen quick. And so when it's not happening quick, or it's not happening as fast as people want it to happen, they kind of start to compare their journey to somebody else. Like, I've been doing this for 1 month. This person has been doing this for 1 month, and they've gained this amount of muscle, or they lost this amount of body fat. And we've both been doing the same thing. And why am I not seeing these results? Right.
yeah, I made a video about this, yesterday and posted it up, a reel about this, but I think it's one of the most dangerous things we can do is to compare ourselves. We don't, especially if it's like on a social media basis where you see someone's before and afters, right? Where that's all you see is where they started and whatever they're showing you as the end point, right? And with other, I mean, it could even be Photoshopped. Who knows?
Right.
There's so many tools out there that can be done at an amateur level that people can make themselves look amazing. And even though they may have had an even impressive transformation, it may not be as impressive as they're making it out to be. But either way, yeah, it's their highlight reel that they want you to see. And that's one thing. But when you start drawing comparisons and you start comparing your rate of progression versus someone else's, it's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges, if not apples to hot dogs. I mean, it's not even the same thing.
Right.
You know, there's so many different things that go into a transformation, or to fat loss, to weight loss, to muscle building, to skill development, to personal development. And everyone's journey is their own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told you, like, it took me a long time to turn pro, and there's nothing special about me other than I'm just really stubborn. And I refused to give up. I didn't know that I was going to turn pro. In fact, when I did, it was so overwhelming. It really threw a curveball at me for my life. Like I was a little lost there for a while because I was driving so hard for so long towards this goal. And then when I achieved it almost unexpectedly, it was like, well, shit, now what?
Right.
I don't have anything else I'm working towards. And I needed that. But anyway, it was, you know, that's a little off topic, but you know, when you start to compare people and compare other people's journeys, cause like I've had clients that turn pro in 5 shows.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, that's amazing, guys. And maybe, you know, the fact that it took me 9 pro card attempts, 40 shows altogether. Maybe that braved the path so that you guys can get there quicker. I don't know. But we have different genetic profiles, different backgrounds, you know, we're started at different ages, different hormones. It's just not the same.
Right. Different schedules, yeah. Period. Right. You can have, you know, I have 0 kids, right? You have 3, obviously the time is going to be different. Right. And so it's just so many different factors that when we compare ourselves to others, it's really a pointless game.
It is
that we get caught up in, and you know, you get it from the school system, and it's a lot of different things where whoever has the highest grade or whatever the case may be, you know, so it's a lot that goes into it. And so
here at Playing Injured, we value mental fitness and giving folks tools to persevere through anything in life. If you struggle with brain fog, fatigue, or staying focused, I want to present to you the latest biohacking tool called Magic Mind. It's an amazing productivity drink. Look, I've been drinking Magic Mind for the past few weeks, and I've noticed a difference in my level of focus, the momentum that I feel throughout the day, and it's helped me feel more successful and conquer my calendar. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink. It's different than an energy drink or a coffee-based drink with minimal caffeine and all natural ingredients, helping you fight off procrastination, brain fog, fatigue, and some ADD symptoms. After about 3 to 7 days of continuous use, it's easier to get into a flow state and be more productive. Magic Mind has a special offer for our listeners. Head over to www.magicmind.co/injured and use our promo code injured for 20% off. Visit www.magicmind.co/injured and use our promo code injured for 20% off.
I never thought about it from the school system, but yeah, you know, I mean, comparisons are being made from like day one.
Yeah.
You know, even if you have siblings, right? And it's like, Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister?
Right.
You know, different things like that, that are sprinkled throughout everything in life.
100%. And we should be careful with that. You know, I love that. So I don't know. You end up bringing now what, right? That now what mindset, right? I think that hits people, whether, you know, any endeavor, right? They've reached all the goals that they had. You know, I've heard that success is not actually reaching the goal, but actually setting the goal and actually going after the goal, right? Just you going after and being committed, you're already successful, right? And so,
yeah,
how do you find that now what? What did you do when you felt that now what moment, and how did you kind of recalibrate your life in a way?
Yeah, well, you know, it took me a while to kind of figure it out, but it wasn't, I think that there are a lot of things that I went through just in my career that did equip me for that, because that type of feeling is experienced by a lot of people just by one competition, one event. I was listening to a podcast, it was a couple of years ago, and they were talking about what true happiness feels like. And I think everyone's vision of like true happiness is like, well, I'm sitting on a beach in Hawaii with a margarita in my hands. Right. That's true happiness. No, it's not. No. That's nice, but that no one would argue against that. That's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing experience. But true happiness comes after you accomplish something great. Right? Something that you've worked extremely hard for and you've put a ton of work and ton of time and effort in. And when you accomplish that, you won't be happier than any other time in your life. Mm-hmm. Right? Or I mean, and that could even go into like childbirth, right?
Yeah.
Which I didn't experience, full disclosure, because they're my stepdaughters. But that, you know, that feeling that you get from there, that's true happiness. So you have to be able to use that energy and pivot it towards new ventures and focus on something else. Right. I think that, you know, my focus became more on, and it was before, but it was just now primarily focused on other people and helping them achieve as much success as they could ever possibly want to achieve. And it's not just on the fitness side. I work with people on personal development. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and CEOs, to help them get past roadblocks that they're placing upon themselves, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, I've worked with people with all sorts of different industries that I know nothing about and I don't need to know anything about. You know, I've worked with people from real estate to land development to software companies, to retail store managers or retail store owners. And it's always comes back to who we are, what our identity is, what our values are, what our beliefs are, what our limiting beliefs are. And once you can fix that, then everything else becomes possible. And I realized that when I did achieve that goal, I was a little more one-dimensional than I thought. And so I had to pivot and make sure that I was more equipped. And that's where I really dove into a lot more personal development study than I had before. Yeah. And anyway, it's just refocusing that energy on towards something else. Because if you don't, you could end up in a very, very negative place people end up being very, very depressed. I mean, you see that with people like sell their companies. There's like support groups for people that exit from their companies with millions of dollars because they encounter extreme depression that nobody can really relate to.
Yeah.
But it's a weird challenge. You're like, oh, I have rich people problems, right?
Right.
But it's still a problem nonetheless, you know, but it's just a matter of, it's just keeping that energy that, that you had towards that goal that you did accomplish and focusing on something else, but you always have to have a focus.
Yeah. 100%. And I like how you mentioned, you know, hey, you kind of changed your habits a little bit. You started to get,
I had to. Yeah.
I had to get in the first person in development and change your identity in a way. Right. We talked a little bit about it, but like, once you hit that now what moment, it's almost time for an identity shift where you have to kind of shift your habits and shift that identity to become something new, you know?
Yeah. And it is that shift that I think ends up being so pivotal in your success or lack of success. Like if you're unable to make that shift, then that's usually what the reason was. Sometimes that belief in it, and it could be due to the fact that we expected instant results and we didn't get them. Right. But if you become that person that, you know, this is what I'm going to do regardless, I'm going to maintain these habits, I'm going to have this perspective, I'm going to do these certain things every single day that make up who I am. And I know that like, it's, that's what leads to success in whatever it is. Right. Because it's not like it was one particular gym session or, you know, 1 month of dieting. I mean, it was like years and years and years of putting in the work. And that's just reps, right? Reps of all kinds that leads to success. It's the small things. Yeah. I think people think they're like overnight success in business. Bullshit. That doesn't exist.
No,
it doesn't exist. It looks like that from the outside going in, but you never know what was happening behind the scenes and all the work and sleepless nights and stress to the point of mental breakdowns that people go through. Just like you don't see that when you see a before and after on social media, you don't know what happened in between those pictures.
Right.
I do with the people that I've helped. And I think people look at it, they're like, oh my gosh, how come I can't be like that? It looks like it was so easy for them. I'm like, no, it wasn't. And I make it a point that whenever I do post a before and after, like, hey, this was not a linear path. It wasn't like week after week after week of success, 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 success. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
There's failures along the way. You have to learn from those failures. You grow from those failures. And everyone has them. Everyone.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how you handle them. 100%. Learn from them, or do you let them completely stop you in your tracks?
100%. Man, that is crazy. That is amazing. Jeff, man, the life that you have is amazing, right? For me, I'm 25, mid-20s. And I think a lot of men in their 20s, right? I feel like most men want to be great men. Right. Husband, father, 3 girls. Yeah. Right. But most of us have, you know, insecurities in a way that I think that hold us back, kind of that that mask of masculinity,
yeah.
Fishing
you put on that front. Right.
Yeah. You kind of put on that front. Right. What would be advice you would give to, and this is speaking to the males, young males, early, mid-20s. To grow as a man, if you had to, cool. Let's say if you're talking to your younger self.
Yeah.
It's deep, probably heavy hitting, right?
It is, you know, and I used to say that one of my biggest regrets, at least with, when it came to my bodybuilding career, was that I didn't get started sooner. Mm. But at the same time, if I had started back then, I don't know that I would have had the success that I did. I don't know that my mindset was in the place that it needed to be. And, you know, the path that led to where I am today was very unorthodox compared to most people's that are in my position. But I don't regret a single element of it. I think that it was, I can benefit from every single one of those experiences that I had, from all the various career shifts that I had. Because again, I never believed fitness to be a real career, which was bullshit. That was a limiting belief on my side. Yeah. But you know, if I could go back and give advice to myself as a 20-year-old or any 20-year-olds that are out there and in their 20s, pursue your passion. It was something that I pushed to the background throughout my entire 20s. I did. And again, I didn't think fitness was a real thing. And that was, it was kind of pushed on me from my parents. They never outwardly said it, but there was so much doubt whenever I would bring it up. Right. And it was just there, it was hanging out there. And I can't blame them for that. I totally understand why they would feel that way. They were felt like they were looking out for me. I think that's just the baby boomer mentality, which my parents are baby boomers. Like, you want the safe, secure job, but you got to be willing to take some risks. I mean, even when I started this company, it was a gigantic risk. I had a family to take care of.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, to do that with, and not know whether or not it was going to be successful, that was a huge gamble.
Right.
And luckily I had a wife that believed in me and kids that, well, they had no choice. They were too young to choose whether or not they supported me or not, but, it felt that great responsibility to take care of them. And, I think that was, I used that as fuel and motivation to do what I needed to do to provide for them and create a future for them and for our family. So it was, you know, pursue your passion. Yeah. And find a way to make it work. Cause there's, I mean, you can make a business out of anything. You really can.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. We have a 7-figure company and we're in fitness. We're smaller. There's only 15 of us, but we're growing and we're growing at a rate that most gyms could never compete with. And we do more revenue than most gyms do other than the big box guys, you know, but it's because of passion, right? And I think that's what drives us to work as hard as we do is because we care about what we're doing. We're passionate about what we're doing. And if I was doing something else, if I was like a credit card processor or had some software company or, you know, maybe looks great on paper and could produce a lot of money, I would be unhappy and dead inside, I feel like, right. Because I wouldn't get any fulfillment from it. And I wouldn't be able to live a life of passion.
Right.
But I feel blessed that I'm able to do that today. And I wish I would have that. I guess I do have that one regret is that I wish I would have pursued it earlier in my life.
100%. And what I love even, you know, part of passion and what I love more about and looking at your website and different things like that, that just the mission of helping others, right. Reaching their goals and, how fulfilling that is to see others reach their goals, reach that happiness that you were talking about. Not the bliss of being on the beach and a margarita, which it feels amazing for a day or two, maybe a week, right?
Yeah.
The true happiness and then the happiness of seeing others happy due to you being able to add value to them is even crazier. So
it really is. I mean, yeah. That's... The fulfillment that we get, and it almost makes me feel guilty. Like, man, I'm getting so much benefit, personal benefit from seeing someone else have an incredible transformation.
Yeah.
Right. You know, every single one of my coaches, they all compete. We work with competitors, but it's not who we primarily focus on. In fact, I was having a conversation with one of my top coaches just the other day about how she was able to get this lady off of, all of her medications, wow. No longer insulin resistant, has lost all this weight, has all this confidence, started a new relationship, began a new career. That is life-changing. It is life-altering for somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, we work with people that compete and they can get a 6-pack and they look great for a photo shoot and they get on stage, you get a cool trophy, maybe they get a couple swords or something. That's cool too, but it's not life-altering.
Yeah.
And I mean, it could be for somebody depending on what the meaning is. Right. But really to bring about that huge impact on someone else's life is an incredible privilege and a great responsibility. Right. And so that's why we take it so seriously. And it's why we're so passionate about what we do is because we know how important that could be in somebody's life. And we don't want to do anything detrimental to their progress. We do everything in our power to make sure that they succeed. And that fulfillment is, you can't compare that to anything else.
Without a doubt. And I love hearing that story because fitness is the foundation to it all, to confidence, to kind of going after those opportunities, right? It's being proud of yourself through health, through fitness, and everything else will follow. So, Jeff, where can people find you? Where can they kind of follow more of your journey, your companies, and different things like that?
They can... it's easy just to look through for my name on Instagram, Jeff Later, JeffLater is my username. You can go to jefflater.com and that'll take you all my links. That's the easiest way to find me, but, yeah, I would love to connect. Love meeting like-minded people and learning from everybody else as well.
100%. So I'll make sure I put all that information in the footnotes. They got a snapshot in this episode of kind of a post that you usually post on Instagram. So that was great. And
I post a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on. You added a ton of value here, and I hope people get a chance to implement some of the stuff that we talked about here. So appreciate it.
I appreciate it. You have a lot of insight, and, you know, for 25, I wish I had the insight that you have, when I was that age.
100%. I appreciate that. We got a lot of technology on my side as well, where I can learn and look at different Instagram posts and different things like that, and read books and listen to podcasts. And as long as you can stay focused, especially as a young male, like you said, you know, it could take you a long way. So appreciate it.
But a lot of people don't, and you're
doing They don't.
I wouldn't discredit that 1 minute.
100%. I appreciate that.
Our brand design and strategy is by Tessa at 5footstudios.com. You can also follow her on Instagram at 5footstudios. Our music is by Lakey Inspired. Go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And click the 5 stars to give us a rating. And most importantly, keep playing injured.